Sunday morning, and we welcome you to this Sunday morning session for July the 7th, and we're pleased to be here with you on the internet, and we trust that the Lord will bless you throughout this day. Now, the reason there is no music on this connected with this particular teaching, this session right now, and it is because of that. That it is because we are recording this session. Rabin and I are here in the auditorium, and we're recording this session. Because it will not be able to, we will not be able to record on this coming Sunday. Now, for us sitting here right now, you're watching this on Sunday, but we're recording it the Wednesday before Sunday, and we're doing that because we know that we will not be able to record on Sunday the 7th. So, but this will be up and running for you on Sunday the 7th. Sometimes it gets confusing. But this service is for the July the 7th on Sunday. And while you're watching this, we will be having a service here in this auditorium as well, but it won't be going out on the internet. And that is the way it is right now. So we're able to record and then put it up for you so that we do not have to cancel our internet session on Sunday. So may the Lord bless you. And I've either explained that or confused you more about it. But let's continue. You remember, if you were with us last Sunday, and many of you, I'm sure, were, that the emphasis that I had and still do have, and the emphasis that is on this board behind me, concerns the one. And it is just a diagram here, of course. And all things in one. Now, normally that diagram would just say in Christ. We use a circle to represent Christ and to represent our being in Christ, strictly to have this upon the board as a demonstration of what we're talking about. But here is the cross. And my point is, not just in a diagram, but my point is in dealing with the truth as it is set forth in the Scripture, and as it is set forth in the Scripture, so it is fulfilled in Christ. That truth has to do with, over on, we call it this side of the cross. Well, what side is that? Well, it's the life side. It's the resurrection side of the cross. It is the side that is there because here the cross has been fulfilled with the death, the burial, the resurrection, and even the ascension of Christ, which we'll be talking about here. And my point is that on this side of the cross, everything that is of God, everything that belongs to God, everything that is of God the Father, all things with regard to our salvation, all things with regard to whatever prophecies that was given before the cross, whatever prophecies, whatever promises that were made before the cross. All prophecies that were made before the cross. We read this. We read this in Hebrews concerning how that God in diverse times and in diverse ways spoke to the fathers by the prophets. And He did that. He made the promises. But there comes to be the term hath at the end of those days. And probably the better translation there is hath in the end of those days spoken in Son. He has gathered up every promise, gathered up every prophecy. He's gathered up all of the types and the shadows and the buildings, on and on and on. But He has gathered everything up that was pointing to Christ, everything up that had a promise of Christ concerning it, or that had a prediction of a Christ to come, of a person to come, of a salvation to come, of a deliverance to come, of a reconciliation and a restoration to come. Everything that had that as a testimony, or that was a testimony of what I have just got through saying, in any way, shape, or form, whether it was a field, a grape vineyard, whether it was a river, whether it was an ocean, whatever it was that was connected with a promise concerning our salvation, or that was connected as a type and shadow of a coming salvation. For instance, the River Jordan, okay? But we won't go down that river right now. But the River Jordan, the Red Sea, and on we go. The temple, the tabernacle, then the altars. And on we go throughout the Scripture. Sweetheart, what we're telling you is that everything that those things, all that those things are pointing to, are speaking of, whether in a prophetic way or whether as a promise, whatever, diverse ways, diverse manners, God hath spoken to the fathers by the to the fathers by the prophets. Whatever way the Lord used, He has gathered it all up in one. He has gathered it all up in His Son. He hath spoken in Son. Why? Because the Son is the finished work of the cross. And He isn't going to come back and die again. He died once and forever. He was buried once and forever. He came forth as the resurrection in resurrection once and forever. He is the resurrection and the life. He is that wherever He's found. Is He that found in heaven? He is that found in you. Is He that found at the right hand of His Father, sitting upon the throne? If so, He is found that way in you. Why? Because there's just one Christ, hon. One Son. And I'm just going to go over that for just in a little bit here. One. We get that mixed up with many because we get that mixed up with the fact that that one lives in many. And that one gathers up many realities into Himself. And many realities, but none of those realities in and of themselves would be sufficient. But He has gathered it up. He has gathered all truth, not some truth, not some facts with regard to truth. He's gathered truth. I am the way, the truth, the life. Please get a hold of this, sweetheart. Our whole salvation is this glorious, most glorious, eternal Son of God. Name above all names, power above all powers. This is the one who lives in you. This is the one in whom by the Spirit you and I now dwell. So when I say the one, this is the one. When I say that, immediately it clicks in my mind, it clicks in my heart. It is, at least in a portion, it is an understanding that I've just said everything. I've left nothing of salvation out when I say Christ, the one, this one Son. And I could talk for 30 minutes right here. This one Son, yes, who is raised up, who is this, who is that, and go down the line. This one Son lives in you. I mean, lives in you right now. Here I stand. Here I stand. I stand in a body, a flesh body. But there is one who lives in me that you cannot see by seeing this flesh body. Because that one is dwelling as the fullness of God in my soul. That one is dwelling as the fullness of God in my soul. And our salvation is a salvation of fullness, not in part, not incomplete, fullness. The breakdown there only comes with our comprehension of that fullness, mainly of what that fullness is or what fullness is. Paul is continually dealing with the church concerning that his prayers that they would come to comprehend this one, that they would come to comprehend him, understanding and knowing him as who he is in them. Yes, in them, related to his Father, living in the believer. Oh, hallelujah. What a union. What a salvation we have. And that's why it. And the further I go on in the Lord, the more it just smites me. It just slaps me in the face to hear someone take anything that Christ is the absolute finish of, fulfillment and completement of, and put it off in the future somewhere, and still putting it in the future, calling it our salvation. Our salvation is not futuristic. Our salvation is eternal. And therefore, it is always now in Christ Jesus. That's the salvation that we present to you in this place and out from this place throughout the Lord's body and around the world. And we appreciate you being with us in any and all of these sessions that are made possible by the internet system at this particular time. So may the Lord richly bless you this morning. Now, last Sunday, and you can look that up. If you weren't with us last Sunday, you can find that on the website, and that'll bring you right up to where I am this morning with this session. It'll bring you right there. I talked a good deal about the one last Sunday and then also this Sunday, but if we really don't know who we're talking about, if we just talk, you know, well, it wouldn't do us much good to talk. So we're focusing upon, yeah, the truth is all things gathered up in the one, but our focus is upon the one, not even the all things, but upon the one in whom dwelleth the all things of God, in whom is made complete. Do you know, hon, that this indwelling Son of God, the indwelling Christ, yes, all those names are more than titles. They are recognitions given of the Father. They are a union expressed with the Father by the Son. All these terms that we're speaking, Christ included. This one, this Lord Jesus Christ, is the very allness. And not only that, He is the security of our salvation. And if you'll permit, I want to just cut to that. Up here on this board, GLORY, all right, glory. And then we can come on down there. We could put up here GRAC, grace, GRACE. We dealt with that a little bit last week because, see, these are not, I'll be careful with it, this grace, glory, word, he is the glory of God, he is the word of God. And right on down, it just keeps on going. I add one every now and then, but it'll fill up the whole building here. But what I want to show you is that it is not that these all things, and let's just say right here, all things, glory, grace, word. Let me put L-O-V-E up here because this is what I'm going to be talking about in just a moment. Love. But let's just go on down the line. We could do that. Please listen to me. Even in doing that, gathering it up, using the term all things, because Paul does the same thing. But sweetheart, now, I'm not trying to just play words with you. It's important you hear me. I am not telling you that the all things are Christ. That the all things are the Son of God. Or that any one of the things is the Son of God. What I'm telling you is that the Son of God is the fullness of each, every, and all of those things. Now, I don't mean that to be a play on words. I mean that to be a recognition of truth. None of those are who He is. He is what each of those speak of in whatever manner they speak. For instance, the Father, if you were in conversation with Him, would not tell you, "Now, I'm going to show you glory. And when you see that glory, you will see my Son." Now, please get with me on this, but here's what He would say. And here's how it is understood in absoluteness of truth. He would say, "I want to show you my glory, but the only way I can show you my glory is to show you my Son." Or my Son, not the effects of it, my Son is my glory. I would show Him to you. I would reveal Him. It would be my good pleasure to reveal Him in you. For in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Him dwelleth the fullness of God. I would reveal Him in you. You hear what I'm saying? You look at Paul's epistles. Every one of them, one way or another, every one of them will tell you. But several of them are so tightly joined together in Paul's understanding of Christ. Ephesians, Colossians, even that linked up with Philippians, and in fact Galatians. But you will find there Paul's desire, more than a desire, but a continual daily prayer for the church, not that they would be, you know, he's not praying for them with regard to something that they already are. He's not praying that they would be the church. He knows they are. And it doesn't mean that he doesn't pray along those lines. And I'm sure he prays along the lines that Christ would be in them and that they would be born from above. Oh yes, we can read that and find it in his teaching. But there are these places where he is praying for those who are born from above, those who are in Christ, those who are his body. His prayers for them, that they would understand what that's all about. That they would understand the depth of that, the importance of that, the reality of that, that they would understand they had not passed from one religion to another religion, but rather they had come to the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. And that Christ Christ, of whom many of those had heard, and there is a possibility that some of them actually saw in the flesh, that these epistles relate to, but most all have heard of Him. Whether they have seen Him before He went to the cross or not. And many of these, Paul himself hath preached that gospel to, and so they have come to be born from above, and he knows that. He knows that. But listen to me, because he knows that what he has given them and what God has given them is not based upon a foundation of doctrines a foundation of traditions of men, even religious traditions of men. It's not based upon what we would call now possibly a theology, even an understanding of God, a Bible-based, a Scripture-based theology. He understands that what he has brought to them is not any of that. That what he has brought to them in his speaking is the reality of the living person, the living Spirit, the living Christ, the living Son. That he's bringing to them a salvation that is this living one now, by his own quickening Spirit, living in the ones he's writing to. He knows that he's living in him, and he's telling them the same thing. He is not just in me, don't you wish he was in you. No, the same one that is dwelling in me is dwelling in you. This is what he's saying throughout all of his epistles. This is the testimony that he is given. And his prayer life is centered upon them seeing by the eyes of their understanding, by the eyes of their soul being opened. Opening of the eyes of the understanding. That they would see. Not just hear words about, truthful words, good words, but see. Why? Because, sweetheart, you can't see a theology. We have received, and here's the miracle of it all. The miracle of it. The miracle of it is that He, not somebody like him, he, Christ, the Lord Jesus, the Son, the resurrected Son, that he actually lives in you. In fact, he is life itself in you. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Oh, read that. Read that there. Read the whole thing. It's there before you in the Gospel of John. Just read the whole thing. That's the one, hon, who lives in you. That's this one in whom the all things of God, even the unimaginable things of God, things that at this present time, and when Paul was writing, was also things that you wouldn't even think to pray for, things that you can't pray for, things that you don't know enough about to pray for. Beyond your imagination, beyond your ability to ask. This is all in Ephesians chapter 3. But those things are a reality in Christ dwelling in you. We have a greater salvation, sweetheart, than we understand. Even if we are understanding by the Spirit of God to some degree, even if we are growing into Him who is the head in all things, even if we are growing up in Him, even if the Lord by His very Spirit is being revealed in our hearts and souls. Even so, there is the fullness that we yet do not comprehend. It is an eternal thing. It is an eternal thing. I want to read something to you about this that is in Christ, for He is in you. We may not get to the term love, but look at this. Let me read something to you here. Ephesians 4, 1 through 10. Ephesians 4, 1 through 10. I think I did this last week. It will bear being done again now. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Well, this looks like it was written by the brother while he was in some form of captivity. Maybe in his own house that they had given to him there in Rome, but he was a prisoner nonetheless. Well, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation, which is the same word as calling, of the calling, of the vocation wherewith ye are called. We could read it, worthy of the calling wherewith ye are called, worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Well, here is the term, in love. And I had marked all of these and surrounded them with my pen. All right. As you are called in one hope. One another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. That's the Spirit of Christ in you. That's the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. That's Christ in you. The unity. Now look at the unity here. Unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Look at the unity of Christ. Why is there such a unity of Christ? Because Christ is one. O-N-E, one. But that one fills up the whole universe of God. Now that's the truth. Fills it up, hon. Maybe a small word to you and I, but all, let me tell you, it contains all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. And He's in you. He's in you if you're born from above. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Let's read some of it. The unity, unity, unity. There is one body, one Spirit, as you are called in one hope. That is one expectation of your calling. Look, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Where is all these things true? Where you are in Christ. That's where they're true to you. They're true whether you're in Christ or not. They're true whether you're born again or not, honey. They're true whether I'm born again or not. But I am strongly supposing that all of us, I know that I am born again. I'm very much pleased to know that you who are watching here are born again. But my point is, salvation is not based upon me. I am a partaker of that which is not only based on, founded upon, but is fulfilled in, oh, hallelujah, this one that I'm talking to you about. Fulfilled in. You can't separate it from who He is, and He is the salvation of the Lord. He is the glory of God, grace of God, eternal word of God. He is the love of God. He is the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding of God. He is the righteousness of God. He is the all things given of the Father, sweetheart. That is the one we're talking about. And here's the thing about it. There is one body. Now, here's how this should be understood and is understood, if you understand it at all. There is the body of one. Yeah, there is one body. Oh, it's the same thing, but listen to me carefully. There is the body of one. There is one body. That's true. There are many members. And I don't mean names written out on a sheet of paper. Set there of God by the Spirit of new birth and by the Spirit of baptism. Yes, all of that is the workings of Christ and the Spirit of Christ. For if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, well, he's none of his, because it is by that living Spirit that he lives in you. Look at that. One body. There is the body of one. And there is one Spirit. It is the Spirit of one. It is the Spirit of one. We're talking about unity here. Unity here. We're talking about unity of the Father, Son, Spirit. We're talking about unity. Of everything that we are because of who He is. My Lord, hon. What He has made unto us. You just decided to be the member of a church. Well, okay, fine. You know what you are by doing that? You're a member of a church organization. Okay, fine. You didn't just decide to be the body of Christ. No. You didn't just decide to become a Christian. Not really. Oh, yes. You may have just decided to go join the local assembly or the local congregation or whatever you call it. But sweetheart, salvation is not a religion. It is the indwelling person. Salvation is the living Christ living in you by His Spirit. Eternal Spirit, actually. My word, hon. You see? There is one body, one Spirit. Please look at this. Don't let your mind drift off. Everything here is tied together by this one word, one. And it all relates to the one. It all relates to Christ. It all relates to Him. All of it does. Not just one body. There is the body of just one. There is no other body recognized of God. There isn't one. The one that existed, the corporate body of Adam, was taken to the cross, killed, destroyed, done away with in the heart, mind, and sight of God. So much so that when we come to Christ, we're not in Him a Jew or a Gentile or anything that relates itself in any way to the Adamic creation. No, hon, that stopped at the cross. What we're talking to you about here, what I'm talking to you about right now, is not something that existed before the cross, but something that came forth in or out from and because of the death and burial related to the cross, came forth in the resurrection. The resurrection not being just something that happened, but Christ Himself raised up out from among the dead by the glory of His Father, so that you and I may walk in newness of life as a new creation in Christ, which is not Jew nor Gentile, nor any part of Jew or Gentile, or bond or free. No, no, no. So when we speak of one body, we can only say one body because we're talking about the body of one. It's not just a willy-nilly body bouncing around like a ping pong ball somewhere and trying to figure out, well, I wonder which of these churches is that body. I want No, you won't find it like that. Christ, given Christ to be. Read it. Ephesians 1, 19, 20, 21, 22. Read it. Given of God to Christ. Nobody else. No one else. No man living or any man. No. Only one. God hath given to Him all power. All power. All glory. Has raised Him up far above all names that ever were named, that ever will be named, that ever could be named. Above all powers, all potentates, every power that was broken and done away with in Himself by the cross, and He came forth in glory. That is, in union with His Father by that one eternal Spirit. Get a hold of what I've just said. Because He dwells in you. Dwells in you, darling. There's one body because there is one whose body it is. Take away that one, and nothing that relates to Him would be left. Nothing. He. We talk about He's the foundation. And He is. My Lord, yes, He is. Consequently, He is the all-ness. He's the all of it, honey. Foundation of it. Capstone of it. Cornerstone of it. He's the life of every brick of it, every rock of it, every part of it. Come on, darling. He is the all in all with regard to His body. The church, which is His body. Don't try to look at that in some make-believe way. It isn't make-believe. It's a true body of His true resurrection. And there isn't another resurrection, hon. It's Him. And He raises up His body. And He's forever raising up that body, not because there's one resurrection right after another. No. It's because there's one resurrection, and we're not calling that an event. There's one resurrection, and it's the person of Christ Himself. It's this one up here who not only He is, I started to say, who lives in the resurrection. He is the resurrection, and we live by Him and therefore in union with Him. Well, see, I'm having a hard time getting by these verses. That's okay. Why? Well, I want us to look at one Spirit. Even as you are called in one expectation. Now see, hon, that has to be fulfilled in Christ. And it is, Christ in you, thee. So let me just say it the way it actually is, what it actually means. Christ in you. Paul, this is in 1 Corinthians. This is in Colossians, the first chapter. And we'll probably get to reading it. If we don't, we'll read it next Sunday or some other time. One hope. He's talking there about the riches of the glory, which is Christ in you. Thee. Means there's only one. Thee. The one and only. The expectation. The hope. The expectation of glory. There was only one expectation of glory that was ever given of God. That expectation is now fulfilled in this one. This one who dwells in you. This one who is the Son of God in you. Christ in you, who is the expectation. The hope, the expectation. Not some expectation, not some hope. No. Christ in you, thee. And that writes a word one on it. The hope. And Paul is declaring not a hope yet to come, but the glory that was yet to come. And the hope of that glory now come in Christ, who is in you. Now that's what Paul is saying. I mean, just read it. But you've got to understand it in view of the one who is the absoluteness of it, the fulfillment of it. Oh, my Lord. Fulfilled in Him. And He has showed Himself to the Father to be the fulfillment of every testimony ever given of Himself, of the all things of God. Look, I do need to get on down here because this goes better, or it gets better in verse 5 there. I'll just, one Lord, one faith. My Lord, hon. So we're going to have to say, one Lord, one faith, the faith of one baptism, the baptism of one. Yeah, see, or those two words wouldn't exist. And it's the same with the one Lord. But I'm not going to sit here and take the time to get into that. But it is Christ. It is the one that we're talking about. And then we see what's gathered up in all of that, the all things. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Now, I want to go a little farther, right quick. We'll just have that much time. Verse 7, because I'm still in Ephesians 4, 1 through 10. Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given according to the measure of the gift of grace. Now, I talked to you last Sunday about the measure. We were looking at that in Ephesians, yes, but in Ephesians chapter 1, and well, probably from verse 1 right on through verse 10 of chapter 1 of Ephesians, and there we were confronted with the measure of all things, the measure of all the blessings of God, the measure of all of the heavenly places, the measure, the measure of the calling was there. Oh my Lord. The measure of His good pleasure is there, and it's all gathered up into one. And the one is there, and He's set forth by Paul to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you forgive me for getting a little dramatic, but my Lord, honey, when are we going to get our eyes open and just read what the Scripture is saying and say, Father, open my eyes that I may understand what the Scripture is saying? Because here we've got it, given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You're going to tell me who the measure of the grace of God is? It's Christ. But then what is the measure of Christ? Fullness. And what is the fullness? It's the fullness of God. That's the measure. Grace is not measured by me, by you. It's not measured by something He's given me to do. It's not measured by some office I have in the church. It's not measured by some... No, it is not. It's measured by the one who lives in me by the grace of God. It's not measured by the hole I was dug out of. No, because I wasn't dug out of a hole. I was raised up by the one who came forth out from among the dead and now dwells in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The measure of the grace of God is the measure of the one who is the grace of God and who does everything, every work in you, on your behalf and to you. He does that as the grace of God. My. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high and led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men, which needs to be explained. Now, verse 9. Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? What does that say? It says just this, the one who came down, because He speaks of Himself as, I am come down. The Father hath sent me. I am come down. I am from above, but I am come down. The Father hath sent me. I will finish the work that my Father hath sent me to do, hath given me to do. And He did, and all of that. But here's the point. The one who came down is the one and the same who ascended. And it is the one in whom we now and forever do dwell. Now He that ascended, He first descended to the lower parts. He that descended is the same that ascended. And here's what I want to show you. That ascended, even in your King James, because I'm reading the King James printout here. Ascended, look, up far above all heavens. Where are you, darling? Hath quickened us together with himself. Raised us up together as one body, as this body of one. Yes, yes, come on. Made us set together as one. In the heaven. In Christ. Where would that be? Ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. But now, the word fill there needs to be really defined as it is in the language in which it is written, that he might fill all things. Now, you'll look at a good Bible dictionary and it'll show you that that word, that he might fill, means, there are several words that can be used and they all mean the same thing. All right? Fulfill, so that, let's read it that way, that he might fulfill all things. When did he fulfill all things? When he ascended and presented himself to his Father. Having been raised up out from among the dead by the glory of the Father. Well, now. All right. It also means to make complete. It also infers, I'm not making these things up, it infers to show himself to be the completeness of all things. It also, another writer added to it, to bring in himself all things to its consummation. In other words, honey, to leave nothing undone. To leave nothing that God gave him to do undone. To show himself as the perfection of it. To show himself as the consummation of it. Sweetheart, there is not a true prophet in the scripture. A true prophet in the scripture that speaks beyond who Christ is. There is not a promise given of God that goes beyond. In other words, it has to have something else. Has to have Christ plus this. No. Nothing given of God reaches beyond that Son. That Son is not only the completeness of what we have of God, he is the consummation. We're not looking for another event. He's the consummation of the fullness of all that we have in that one. Because the one is who all of that is. Hallelujah. May the Lord open the eyes of our understanding, hon. May the Lord open the eyes of our understanding. And, well, I got on this last week and I stayed on the one. But you see, I don't know how to, I guess I need to learn how. Because you start looking at this term fill, fullness, complete, fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, on and on and on. It's hard to get beyond, and any lesson for me, the one of whom we are speaking. Well, I really wanted to just extract the word, the term love, as it is connected with one. Because unless you connect it in with one, you'll never find what love is, who love is, when or where love is. It's got to be connected with one. And that's why when the love is used, so many times then in the scripture there where it is used, we're connected with what is called one. That they may be one. That they may be this, but it always, that they may be one. But it always comes down to an end, Father, that the love where thou hast loved me before the world was dwell in them and I in them. The love of God always comes to be not just defined, but honey made manifest by this one who dwells in you. Who dwells in you. If there's any of you who may for any reason think that, you know, maybe you failed the Lord in something. Maybe I don't know what maybe, but just maybe you failed. Maybe you've fallen away. Maybe somebody has come and told you that if you do this, if you do that, if you don't do this and don't do that, then the Lord will not accept you. And if you get cooled off or turn away from the Lord in any way, shape, or form, or at least what they believe it to be, that no way is God going to receive you again. Sweetheart, that's just a bunch of bad thunderstorms. And hasn't got anything to do with the truth. This one who is the love of God. No, He is not your passport to just do anything you want to do, live any way you want to live. Nobody says that. What He is the absolute security of your salvation. I may stumble, fall, I may do a lot of things that I don't want to sit here and even give a word to. But He liveth in me, and He liveth there continually. This one is the love of God. You need to read. I've had it printed out several times and then didn't read it. It's Romans 8. It's Romans 8. And I would just have you to read that. Romans 8, verse 31 through verse 39. Sweetheart, that's all written about the love of God of whom we've been talking. The love of God, who is the one love of God in you. In you right now. In you. Hallelujah. Read what Paul says. Read what Paul says. And then turn and pour your heart out to the Father in the presence of that Son. And don't let anyone stop you from doing it. The one who liveth, liveth in me, and He liveth in you. If you've ever been born again, He liveth in you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you for being with us. If you have any questions, and sometimes when I get through, you do have, be sure to get a hold of me. You can send an email or you can give me a phone call. Or any other brother that's here, as far as that goes. But I'm just telling you, we'd love to hear from you. Lord bless. Amen.